Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Accepted Authority. This is the podcast where we show you how to attract ideal clients and build a more valuable consulting business. And as always, with me, it's Greg Rowett. G'day, Greg.
G'day, Andy. Thanks for the welcome.
Yeah, we're looking forward to getting involved with this conversation. And I think what we're going to talk about today is really around vision. You know, one of the things when we're talking about, we're trying to attract great people and great clients, but often in consulting and professional services, we find that vision is almost like a hackneyed phrase now, isn't it? It's like we know we have to have a vision that's on the board, on the reception, but I think having a strong vision has so many benefits from your team, from you pitching yourself as that authority and all sorts of benefits. We're really going to dive deep and share your experiences and we'll share ours, and we'd love to get your thoughts if you're watching or listening as well. So maybe we just start, Greg, with when we talk about, you know, having a strong vision, what does that mean for you and how have you seen it done effectively in your career?
Yeah, great topic, Andrew. I think one of the biggest problems I see for consulting firms is, you know, attracting quality people and, you know, having the talent available to work with them. And often, I see that whole process as being looked at upside down, because it's not so much about, you know, finding the right people, but it's about having the right people wanting to work for you in the first place. So what do you have to offer to them that attracts them and motivates them to be high performance? So often we look at, in consulting, getting those right people and making sure they're performing effectively without really setting them up for success in the first place. So, I see having a vision, a mission that actually inspires people to turn up to work and work like volunteers rather than like employees. And I use that term volunteers like, people working for a charity. People turn up to work for charities and because they're so much aligned with the vision and mission of that charity. So they put their resources into achieving that vision and mission for the charity without expecting any payment. Now, imagine if we could create that sort of scenario in our consulting practice where we have people turning up, would work for us without wanting to be paid. Now, the bonus is we can actually pay them for their work, but, achieving that level of dedication, motivation, and loyalty from our team really, to me, comes back to having that inspiring vision and mission that our people align themselves with. And, when they're really aligned with an exciting vision and mission or inspiring vision and mission, you don't have to manage people in that scenario. They're there to actually achieve that vision from their own motivation. And what I see happening is that often, the vision and mission, and, David Maister is a guy that I quote a lot. He talks about, every professional service firm's mission statement is identical. It's all about, achieving quality service for clients, providing a great place to work, and within, the realms of different ways of interpreting that, he's pretty much right from my experience. So looking at how do you actually create an inspiring vision that and a mission statement that people are motivated by that's beyond the norm? And I think that comes about from really understanding who your clients are, what their aspirations are, and creating a vision, a mission that's really aligned with your clients' ultimate outcomes that they're looking to achieve. So when you can create a vision and a mission statement that really puts that goal into a framework that your people can align with and get behind, then I think you're on a winner.
So some interesting takeaways to me, Greg. First of all, the vault treating having a company that the team feels like they're working as a volunteer. I think that's a wonderful distinction. I've never heard that one before. And certainly something to ponder. How do you capture that effervescence and that joy? I think the other part that you mentioned there was having that, thinking about your client's end goal. And we get so wrapped up, don't we, about what we want. Yeah. And often when we talk about, you know, marketing a professional services firm or, you know, consulting firm, it's all about what you want as a consulting firm owner or partner. Mm. And it can be tricky to get in the heads of what your clients are looking for. But I think what we're saying there is if we can be so laser focused about building a firm that has the solution in mind at all times, then you are going to attract those people and those clients and those partners that they're going to think, well, you know what, they speak my language and they're all about impact. You know, they're about abundant thinking. So I think that's fascinating what you're saying there.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, that process is something that, you know, most people running professional firms have to go through a reorientation at some point, because, you know, when we start our firm, it's all about us. You know, the goals are all about what we can achieve and what we want to do. And, you know, while that's motivating to us and great, you know, for us to get the business started, really, who else is going to support that vision other than perhaps our mum or our family? You know, so we've got to go through this reorientation at some point to make it not inward focused but outward focused, and the impact that we can create for our clients. So if you can, you know, go through that reorientation process and mm-hmm. change the focus of, you know, your intentions and motivations that you're trying to involve people in towards the impact you can have for your clients, then that's what makes the biggest difference, I think.
So interesting. We talk about, like, well, how do you do that? One tool that I've come across that's been really successful is called the Vivid Vision by a guy called Cameron Harrell. And he created this idea that you can have a vivid vision, where you're creating an aspirational future, but it's not like a 100-year plan where it's really hard to touch it. Yep. It's enough to be able to, you know, have some lofty goals, but also align with your values, with your team, and be quite audacious with that thinking. Mm-hmm. So what have you come across in terms of, like, how do you then go and say, okay, great, I know what we're talking about here. We need to create this inspiring vision. But what would you suggest, Greg? Is it a team internal workshop? Do you go out to the park and just try and have a picnic and talk it out? Like, how do you go about creating or coming up with that idea?
Yeah, well, vision? I mean, there's lots of different ways to do it. And I think, you know, particularly when you're at a size of your business where you've got a reasonable sort of team involved, doing it together as a team is a really good process, not just for, you know, coming up with the mission itself or the vision, but, you know, that team bonding and getting the buy-in from your team at that point, so that, you know, everything going forward is their idea that they're supporting. You know, so rather than having that vision and mission imposed on them from the top, saying, well, here's what we're asking you to sign up to, you know, which can work. And, you know, when you get people on board, you know, through that process and they do align with it, that's great. But, you know, the next best approach is getting them involved in creating that in the first place, so they're really invested in it and working towards, you know, creating that future for the business. Yeah.
So what, I mean, have you come across any great examples where you've seen businesses or you've worked in or with businesses and you think, you know, that's a really inspiring vision?
Yeah.
Put you on the spot, Craig.
There's been a few that I've been involved in. You know, and some very creative people that I've worked with. You know, one firm I can remember was in the creative design space, designing museum environments. And, you know, so working with them, you know, and having that creative mind put to it, you know, created a vision. I can't recall the exact wording of it now, but it was, you know, very creative and, you know, out of the box. So it wasn't like the normal vision statement that, you know, I spoke about the David Meister concept before. It was totally different from that, but it really gave that firm a focus on, you know, what their purpose was. And I think the value of having a, you know, a vision and a mission is it's really about clarifying the purpose. And I think someone made a distinction recently that having you know, a purpose, or what's the value of a purpose or a plan? You know, a plan is something that has a step-by-step you know, or set of activities that you need to accomplish to achieve a goal.
Yeah.
But plans can be disrupted, they can be changed by circumstances. And you know, I think it was General Patton that said, you know, your plan is useless after the first engagement in a battle. You know, true. Plans are good to have, but, you know, they don't often pan out, whereas your purpose is almost unchangeable, you know, within the time frame. You know, you create your purpose and that's what you're aiming for. So plans can change, but your purpose is that guiding light, the, you know, the beacon or the lighthouse, or that, you know, you're being attracted to or lighting the way. So, you know, having a clear purpose, that your vision and mission really describe and detail so that everyone understands it and is front and center of their day-to-day activities, really create foundation for a business that really enables growth and enables the team to be involved in making that happen.
If you're a smaller company, I'll give you a quick example of, so maybe we're talking about, you know, 50 to 200 people here, but maybe you've got 10 staff, maybe you've got 30, 40 staff.
Yeah.
To think about, well, what do you do then? If maybe you don't feel comfortable bringing everyone together, maybe it's on you. Mm-hmm. We worked with a coaching business, business consulting firm, and I think they've got maybe 10 staff. The business owner's been running it for 20 years. So he's very clear about the business. So what we worked on is we created this this vision, a 3-year vision. It was quite bold. It talked about things like signing, you know, 10-year contracts. It talked about things like creating the office environment that doesn't even exist yet, but it had a variety of different themes. And it talked about the clients that was sort of reimagined, almost sort of 10x'd from where we are right now. And I remember when we were working on this with this client, I was sort of thinking, this is quite bold. I'd be really interesting to see the feedback. So, you know, David brought it into his team and he said, okay, well, this is what you think. I presented it. And what it did with it, it actually, there were some people that were discouraged by it and they said, look, it's actually not for me. It's, I can't see myself here. On the flip side, it actually solidified the people who were on board and they sort of went, wow, you know, that's really where I want to be. So I think there's that power of, you know, you talked before, Greg, about the bigger business where you can maybe bring in maybe your heads of departments or, you know, your clients, directors, or, you know, you have that mix. Maybe if you're smaller, you know, consider something like, you've got to set the direction, or else if you ask for feedback, you're going to get no, you're going to get five different answers. You're going to get confused and you're going to feel come away going, you know what, I'm not really confident about that. So I think probably that key message there is if you're, call it, say, you know, 30 staff or less, have a go yourself, but then be bold enough to realize that a vision should be, if done well, it should be a bit polarizing. If you haven't, if it's not polarizing or you don't get any feedback, then it's probably not big enough, or it hasn't challenged, you haven't challenged yourself enough. So would that be fair to say in your experience, Greg? Yeah, how have you seen that?
Yeah, I like that, how you've described that, because definitely my experience for sure has been, you know, the process can be polarizing and should be polarizing. Yeah. Because, you know, when you've got a larger group of people, you know, 30, 50, you know, maybe more, it's almost impossible for everyone to be on the same page. And that's really the objective of the whole process of creating your vision and mission, is to get everyone on the same page. So, you know, the people who, you know, maybe fight the process or have a different idea about the process, or, you know, what's happening in the process, they either have a choice to look at things differently and look at, you know, maybe changing their attitude about what's happening, where the business is going. And, you know, to me, you know, my definition of a vision statement is a description of where you see the business going. So, you know, so if people don't see that initially, they've got a choice to see, well, yeah, is that something I can get behind and support, or is it something I couldn't really, you know, be bothered about, and maybe I'd be better off, you know, not being here and going somewhere else. And, you know, that's a good thing, you know, because ultimately we want people in the business who are totally supportive of our purpose.
Yes.
And, so, you know, I think one of the values of the process itself is actually creating that polarization and, you know, giving people a choice to say, well, you know, are you with us, or, you know, we're not against us so much, or, you know, but can you fully support, you know, where we're going, and are you willing to put your time and effort into supporting our future together? If that's not the case, then maybe you're better off, you know, finding something else.
Yeah, and, you know, one of my team, a quick story, they, you know, I sort of shared some feedback and they came back and said, oh, you know, all good things start from the top. And I was sort of thinking, well, there you go. If you can be the person that sets the tone, then you're going to get followers, because they will follow you if you paint that picture. So
that's right. And I think that's an important point too. You know, I've talked about, you know, the team creating the vision and mission, but, you know, that ultimate, you know, strong leader that you need to be, you know, and grow into being to lead a business, you know, you still have to make sure it's the business you want.
Yes.
You know, otherwise, you know, if it's not the business you want and your team has hijacked it and is, you know, taking it where they want to go, then it's not a great for that process to, you know, just almost shape and influence their thinking so that, you know, what they come up with is aligned with where you're wanting the business to go. And you know, that's a subtle approach, but you know, a strong leader is able to do that. The strong leader, you know, creates the vision. And, you know, I talk a lot about, you know, leaders who've created powerful vision and missions, like Nelson Mandela, Mahatma Gandhi, you know, who we don't associate with business, but we can, you know, understand the following that they created and people, you know, signing up to their vision being those sort of leaders who inspired people and, you know, were able to get people to join the cause that they aspire to. And so in that way, you know, it's that sort of approach of creating a vision and a mission purpose for the business that other people are willing to jump on board with and then run with themselves.
Definitely. Yep, fantastic conversation. So Thanks again, Greg. And thanks, everyone, for watching and listening. This has been the Accepted Authority. Greg, where can we find you?
Probably the easiest way to find me is look me up on LinkedIn. Just do a search for Greg Raworth, and you'll find me there.
Yep, and for me, likewise, jump on LinkedIn and Andy Marmont or concurve.com.au. So that's all we've got time for. We'll see you next time. This has been the Accepted Authority, and thanks for your time.